Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for December the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2022. To promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property, using the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, and the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. That's who we are. That's what we do. We reject revolution. We stand for peace, for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson in a two-hour bonanza talking about God, family, and country as always on your radio. And, man, we just got a lot to cover, so let's just get straight to it, shall we? Chris, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Sam. You want me to go ahead and start this portion of the show off, Sam? Because I want to talk about naivete.
Naivete? There's no such thing as naivete.
No, that's a French word. I know a lot of French words. Most of them I can't repeat on the radio, though.
But I do know
the word naivete.
Those are French words and, you ought to forget, I might add.
Okay. Yeah, that might get you thrown off the radio if I say those. Yeah, no, I know. I apologize. I do have some repentance to do in that area. But anyway, let's talk about this attitude that it can't happen here. And that kind of goes along with what we talk about, God's in control. We kind of pawn off our problems to other people or, you know, in the case of, God's in control off on God. And I think we need to quit doing that because it can happen here. We see the wars, you know, happening in the Ukraine and in Yemen and other parts of the world. I'm glad I don't live over there. But you know what? There is war raging here. And for the most part, it is intellectual and, contained within our minds and in our hearts. But in some cases, there's literal war. There's literal fighting in the streets going on in the United States of America, and it's not getting any better. And I'm going to give you an example. I didn't listen to mainstream radio, but I happened to be listening to this this local radio station. It's very, very popular where I live here in northern Utah. And I thought, wow, I've got to talk to Sam about this on his show. And so the headline reads, so I went to the podcast and, you know, I've had everything written out, and it says California crime ring forces Utah-based Copaxi to close its doors. So a Utah-based outdoor gear company called Copaxi, I don't know if you've heard of that, Sam, they sell outdoor gear, is closing its doors in San Francisco after 1 year there. CEO and founder David made the decision this week, citing multiple break-ins by organized theft rings. Okay, in the first week that this individual had opened his store, Sam, the plate glass window was shattered within 1 week of opening this store in San Francisco. And the contents of the store were completely looted. He stole all of his gear. This would happen three subsequent times within a few weeks. They would replace the window and, you know, the next day it would be broken and all of their goods would be looted. Smith then erected metal gates in front of the windows. This did not solve the problem, however, because criminals would come into the store during business hours in the middle of the day and loot the store. Okay, so he's came up with another solution. He decided to lock the doors during business hours and only unlock them when people came into the store. However, this didn't work either, as the looters would just hide around the corner and wait for the doors to be unlocked when regular customers would come in, and they would do their business. David Davis Smith said that the police would not do anything. Davis Smith then said that there were dozens and dozens and dozens of these incidences. This is a guy from Salt Lake City. He had a store in Salt Lake City. They didn't have a problem in Salt Lake City, fortunately, because that's just up the street from where I live here. He goes on to say he doesn't think that it's because the city police don't care, but that they are so overwhelmed because of the devastation that has happened over the years. And that's a quote. He said, I don't know how to solve the problem. It's a very, very big problem. So the host, I'll go ahead and mention his name. His name is Boyd Matheson. He's a local host, very trusted host. He's a Christian. And he claimed, you know, to want to get to the root of this issue. You know, he's very sympathetic with the man. But you know what? what bothered me as I was listening to this guy is he's very cordial, very kind, very courteous talk show host. He never really identified the root of the problem, in my estimation, because the root of the problem, Sam, is lack of Christian morality. Now, he talked about values, but he meticulously avoided the use of the word Christian values. He never mentioned Christ or constitutional principles or any of those things that we, you and I, Sam, we know are lacking in society and are the cause of a lot of these tragedies that are happening in major cities like San Francisco and Chicago and New York.
But there's no doubt, like, and not only are they Christian principles we need to highlight, but they're family values we need to highlight too. Remember, the family, ladies and gentlemen, is the fundamental unit of society. Okay, and when you don't have family belonging and you don't have a Christian values moral anchor, okay, you don't have the two fundamental keys to a stable, successful, God-ordained society. Okay, if you don't have a tether to God and his commandments and a faith in and a belief of those commandments to obey, and you don't have a family belonging, then see, you don't have that stability factor necessary to participate in a civilized society, because it's a I'm going to get mine before you get yours mentality. It's that there's no respect for private property. It's that there is no respect for human life or human liberty. Okay, these principles all go out the window. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there when you get so base as to jettison God, family, and country is the one in society, if you will, is the one that really suffers the wrath of the lack of God and family, Chris.
Yeah, but there's this reticence on the part, and he's a very respectable, kind, seemingly kind-hearted. I don't know the guy personally. He's probably a Christian. But there's this reticence on the part of professionals like him in the radio business to mention, even mention the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because you know what happens, right? You get shut down, you get kicked off, you're gone.
Yeah.
Okay? Remember the story that I tell you, which is, you know what? I was told by a very big radio network, Sam, you're a very talented host. Now, I'm not trying to promote who I am. I'm trying to make this other point. But you know what? We could really, you know what, make you a rock star talk show host. And I was told this at a huge radio show in Las Vegas for broadcasters. Right on the spot, right on the floor, Sam, I'm ready to ink a contract with you right now, buddy, for big money. But you've got to stop talking about God all the time. And I just said, Tom, he's now passed away, this guy. Tom, I can't do it. If God's out, I'm out, sir. I will not do it. And people are just like, Sam, you're stupid. I don't think so. Well, then I told that story for literally a couple decades. Then at Fox News, Glenn Beck left, and he literally told the same story. Folks, understand, they call it the Velvet Hammer.
Good for Glenn.
And I'm telling you right now that, hey, this guy knows where his bread's buttered.
Good for Glenn.
Sir?
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, you're right. And we may even be members of the same church. I don't know for certain, but I know can I mention the name of the radio station?
Why not?
There's no problem with that. KSL. It is the biggest radio station in the state of Utah, and it is owned by the major religion in the state of Utah as well. That's what bothers me even more. Yet, if you listen to it, you would never know, because they meticulously avoid the mention of Jesus Christ or of God or of the Constitution, all of those things that made this nation great, Sam. It's almost like they go out of their way not to mention them so as not to offend people. Well, that offends me, and it should offend everybody who knows better. So I just thought that was an interesting story that I would share. And it shows
amen. When you say it can't happen here, oh, yes, it can, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what we want to talk about today. Now, Joel Skousen did an end-of-year review. If you don't know who Joel Skousen is, he's the creator of worldaffairsbrief.com, which is a weekly commentary about the world that we live in, and it comes out every Friday. And it basically breaks down the top news articles of the week or news topics of the week. And one unique aspect to it is it's not partisan in any way. Another unique aspect to it is it's not short news blurbs. You know how most talk shows just do a blurb on something and they're gone, or they do a 2-minute on something? You know how we expand in great detail on the topics we discuss on the radio today? Well, he does that in a written form. So it's really detailed, broken down news with sightings and sources and guidelines to gain more information and who said what, when, where, and how. And it is a tremendous, it's one of the best newsletters out there by far. Anyway, if you want to learn more about it, Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. But Joel also is a national speaker and an author and everything else. The guy's very multi-talented, dear friend of ours, comes on the radio with us quite frequently. But Joel Skousen does an end-of-year review that we thought was worthy of discussion. I meant to go to it last night, wanted to, but couldn't, had a conflict. I went and saw the Christmas Carol. But Chris was there, and he's got updates for us, huh, Chris?
I was there, and I'm glad that I was there, and I felt God's spirit very strong. Now, let me tell you something that's going to sound very counterintuitive. He began his presentation by saying, I don't have any good news for you folks that have come here tonight. And a lot of people would have been offended by that because, you know, they want some good news. But the thing about Joel Skousen you need to understand, and this does not offend me or concern me in the least, is a pragmatist. And we'll continue on that thread on the other side of the break.
Let's just skip the break. How's that? We'll just skip that sucker. There you go. All right, go ahead, Chris. You're more important. Joel Skousen's important, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So, you know, he began, and he's been doing this a long week. I get it. But he is a pragmatist, and he is not naive in any sense of that word. And he tells you how he feels about our country, and he shoots straight. He doesn't try to sugarcoat it like some talk show hosts that we just talked about do. But I didn't feel offended, or I didn't feel put down or let down in any way, shape, or form. And then the last part of his talk was very uplifting. We'll get to that when we get to that. But he basically said, you know, I don't have a whole lot of hope that this nation is going to get any better. It's going to get a lot worse before it's going to get better. But then he did express his, you know, hope for Jesus Christ becoming in his second coming. And, you know, obviously that's something that we can look forward to and hope for. But he basically said, you know, you better get prepared more so now than any other time that I've given these addresses. And he gives them every year. So it's going to sound a little eclectic, but I'll go ahead and basically hit the salient points that he hit last night. He said there's a statement in the LDS community, if you are prepared, you shall not fear. He said that that's not entirely true. He said that pertained to mostly one's spiritual salvation, not temporal salvation. He said even those who prepare will be required to go through trials and tribulations. He talked about how some of his evangelical subscribers claim that they will be spared the 7 years of tribulation that they call the rapture. I mean, I don't know if we've talked about the rapture, and I hate to, you know, to speak negatively of other religions, but there's this thing called the rapture, Sam. And I have members of my family, I won't mention them individually, who think that they're going to literally be spared trials and tribulations because they believe in Jesus Christ. And Joel Skousen said that that is not true, you know, to put it mildly. Even the good people on this earth, Sam, like you and I and people we know, I'm not trying to elevate myself or anybody else, but it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to go through some difficult times. And even if you're completely and totally prepared, I mean, there will be loss of the lives of loved ones. And we're not going to be raptured. He said that the rapture will come, this word that's not even mentioned in the Bible, when Christ comes. But before then, we're going to get to a point where Satan has almost complete and total control over the world. So that he got that out of the way at the top of his presentation. He talked about the voting. He talked about, and he's mentioned this in his World Affairs brief. He talked about there will probably never be a meaningful election again in our lifetimes, because the system has become so completely and totally controlled by electronic voting machines. He talked about the Edison data. And I know you talked about Eric, but he talked about the Edison data, how it showed huge vertical spikes in votes for Joe Biden during the 2020 presidential election, which is not normal. The media was saying, well, you see those spikes.
Let me stop you so people understand. ERIC is a third-party non-governmental system designed in theory to clean up voter rolls. But what it really does is take the voter rolls out of transparency and out of our ability to request via grandma requests or FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests. It takes it out of that realm. And so what they do then is they manipulate the voter rolls without scrutiny this way through ERIC. And many states, about 36 states, are members of ERIC at this time. So you got to get your state out of ERIC, first of all. But this Edison system that you're talking about is an analytics system after the fact that can tap into the voter information and databases, et cetera, that can show trends and show details. The Edison data is more of an analytics tool on the back end, where ERIC is a manipulation of voter rolls on the front end. So they have completely different purposes. They're not even associated in any way, Chris. But that's a summary of what they are. So when you talk about this, people kind of understand.
So, I talked about the Edison data and where it shows almost complete vertical spikes in vote counts in favor of Joe Biden during the 2020 election. He said that's not normal. Even if you're bringing in huge tranches of votes from, like, the inner city, it doesn't matter. Those votes are mixed together.
It is normal for vote fraud. It's normal as all get out. It happens all the time, Chris.
Yeah. Yep. And he talked about how certain Rhino Republicans, like he talked about Ron DeSantis. He won a 19-point victory. He talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a very popular Republican conservative, very conservative, and at least her rhetoric from the state of Georgia, how she won handily. And he said, these are rhinos. These are reliable Republicans that will switch over to the Democratic side easily if, they're deceived into doing so. But then other Republicans like Carrie Lake from Arizona, and he said that it was obvious that she was favored over her opponent, Kelly, I forget the last name, the Secretary of State there. Anyway, and he also talked about the fact
Katie Hobbs.
Thank you. Anyway, and he also talked about even with the polls. So the polls of course, are skewed in favor of Democrats all the time. They always do that. Even based on pre-election polls, it was indicating a red wave. Yet there was no significant red wave. He talked about that. And basically, I don't mean to be too long-winded on this topic because you've covered it extensively on your show. He basically said that we are pretty much done with fair elections in this country, unless we get rid of the machines. And he went into kind of some technical details on how we can still have machines counting our votes, but they need to be hardwired and they can't be connected with the internet. And you know all about that, so I won't bore you too much with more of those details. He talked about Ron DeSantis, and I think this was important. He's a little bit concerned about Ron DeSantis. He thinks that Ron DeSantis will probably get the nomination over Trump, just because Trump is becoming more like a broken record, and because of the vaccine mandates that he supported during his presidency, Operation Warp Speed. He thinks that a lot of Republicans are getting Donald Trump fatigue. So, but he is concerned about Ron DeSantis for a couple of reasons, and he mentioned those specifically. Number one, he's concerned about Ron DeSantis's political ambitions. And he mentioned how his wife said that she was looking forward to becoming the first lady. And he said this is not the approach you should take when you're running for elected office. And I agree. You should do it for the benefit of the people. You shouldn't do it, for your own self, personal aggrandizement. Number two, he was concerned about the media coverage of Ron DeSantis. And he thought that the media was really, obviously, they're not going to say a whole lot positive, but we've talked about this ad nauseum, Sam. It doesn't matter if your coverage is negative or positive. What matters is that you get the coverage in the media. And, conservatives know that negative coverage in the media is a tacit endorsement for them because they know the media is biased. Anyway, so he was concerned about those two things. He talked about a little bit about Tucker Carlson. He thinks that Tucker Carlson is doing a pretty good job. The only flaw in his approach is that Tucker Carlson doesn't understand the principles of economics, that he's more of a collective economist rather than a free market economist. And he says that Fox will never fire him because of the ratings that they get from him. And he's true. But I mentioned, this is my insertion. Yeah, they had pretty good ratings with Judge Andrew Napolitano, but they still fired him. And I think if they can find a rationalization to get rid of Tucker Carlson, by the way, there's no relation there between me and him. I think if they can find some rationalization, it doesn't care about the ratings or the potential money that they could lose, from losing him in their ratings. I think that they will get rid of him, just like they got rid of Andrew Napolitano. That's just my insertion. He talked a lot about the Respect for Marriage Act last night, and I was interested to hear what he said. He talked about how people like Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski, senators from Alaska and, of course, the state of Utah, were foolishly promoting the respect, he calls it the disrespect, obviously, for Marriage Act, because it promotes basically homosexual and other perverted marriage arrangements. And he roundly criticized people like Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski, because even though there's a provision in the bill that would protect 501c3 organizations like the church that I belong to and you belong to, Sam, it doesn't protect individuals, it doesn't protect small businesses and other non-501c3 protected organizations. Not only that, he continued and said they could change those provisions in that bill just as easily as they passed this bill. Like a year from now, they could take the protections for 501c3s out of that bill, with the stroke of a pen. And he said how foolish these rhino Republicans who backed the bill because it had that provision in it. And I agree. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, I think. He talked about the war on terror. Go ahead and interject at any point, Sam, if you feel. I know it's kind of eclectic, but that's kind of the style that he communicates on. He's kind of goes from topic to topic. He talked about how the war on terror accomplishes two things in terms of the agenda of the New World Order. He said, number one, it makes America out to be the bully of the world, which was very effective. And number two, it created a refugee crisis in order to dilute the white population of Europe, and that it did. And he talked about the Maidan Revolution in Russia. And he differs with most conservative pundits in that, a lot of people were citing the Assistant Secretary of State, Susan Collins, I'll think of it in a minute, and how it was orchestrated by the Anglo-American axis of the New World Order. And he says he disagrees. He says the Maidan Revolution was actually orchestrated by Russia. And here's how he justified saying that. The Maidan Revolution, so you had Yanukovych as the president, and he was a Russian acolyte at the time. So this was 2014, you remember the Maidan Revolution. So he said that Russia actually orchestrated this whole thing to justify invasion. Then, how long was it, like 7 years later? He said that Yanukovych, the president of Ukraine in 1914 at the time, who was presumably ousted by all those protesters in the capital of the Ukraine, Kyiv, he talked about he was actually a Russian plant. Are we going to skip the break or are we going to?
Nope, got to take this one. Hard break at the bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Radio stations can need to depend on the news at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back in seconds. Chris Carlson with me. Hard-hitting talk straight ahead on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
And ended up with a good product, but we still have more work to do, in my view, in terms of ultimately getting paid sick leave, not just for rail workers, but for every worker in America.
President Biden's comments as Congress voted to pass a tentative labor agreement and avoid a rail strike, an amendment to add 7 days of paid sick leave for railroad workers, failed to pass the Senate. The president signed the bill on Friday. Gas prices are continuing to drop across the country.
Gas prices are dropping just in time for the holidays. AAA says Americans are now paying less for gas than before the Russian invasion of Ukraine caused prices to skyrocket. A gallon of regular unleaded is roughly $3.47, the first time since February that it's been below $3.50. The head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy says prices may keep going down and could even fall below $3 by Christmas. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
Americans are taking home more money. As part of the latest jobs report, the Labor Department says average hourly earnings went up by 18 cents in November. The average wage is now $32.82 an hour. Video of an NFL quarterback possibly being struck by lightning sends the internet into a frenzy.
There was quite a scare Friday morning when a video hit social media of former NFL quarterback Drew Brees appearing to get struck by lightning in Venezuela, where he was filming a commercial for an online sports betting app. An ESPN reporter has been in contact with Drew since the shocking video surfaced and says Drew claimed he was not hit. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The United States men's soccer team plays Netherlands in the knockout round of the World Cup on Saturday. This is USA Radio News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people. But what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community, too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees, and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right. No fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited-time offer. You have to sign up before December 31st. Great savings, great health care. Find out more. Call now, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman, It Can't Happen Here Lies. You know what? Joel Skousen breaking it down, his world affairs year in review. Not very positive. Pretty much saying, look, we'll never have honest elections again. Sadly, he's right, Chris. Sadly, you know what? What he talks about is real. And I know it's not good news. I also know, though, that he provides real solutions. And there is good news and real solutions every time, even though it doesn't feel like it sometimes. There always is good news in learning to obey your conscience, learning to be spiritual enough to follow Christ, learning to receive guidance from God, to not only receive that guidance, but then take action on that guidance. Chris?
Yeah, and that was the bright spot of the presentation. I actually left feeling very good about what was said that night, Sam, last night. And my friend Robert, who went with me. And, oh, by the way, I was privileged to give the opening prayer last night. I thought that that was a privilege that was accorded me. Anyway, I would like to get into he talked extensively about conscience and about listening to God's Spirit. And I would like to end on that note, but I would like to just finish really quick. The Maidan Revolution was a Russian-orchestrated coup. Now, a lot of conservative pundits don't understand that or don't believe that, but Joel Skousen believes it very much. He said that President Yanukovych, he called it Yanukovych. I call him Yanukovych. I don't know how you pronounce it, but he was decidedly a Russian asset. I mean, he was pro-Russian. And then, of course, he was replaced by Poroshenko, President Pietro Poroshenko. And he said that the evidence that he presents that the Maidan Revolution was actually Russian orchestrated was because President Yanukovych actually gave a stand down order to the Berkut. Now, who's the Berkut? It's the riot police, basically, that surround the Capitol and were protecting President Yanukovych from the protesters. And then one morning, mysteriously, the Berkut didn't show up for work. And he says nobody in the media reported that except him. And that was, you know, one of these great media mysteries. Why didn't the media cover that? And of course, the overthrow of Yanukovych was successful. They replaced him with President Pietro Poroshenko, who was pro-Western. And and it may seem counterintuitive that Russia would actually want a pro-Western president to be installed in the Ukraine. But the reasoning behind that, Sam, and listen closely, was because they wanted persecution of like the Donbass region and other Russian-speaking regions. They wanted that persecution because it created a pretext for Russia then to go in and invade Russia later on, which they did. And we're now in the middle of that war at this time. So that was his evidence. I tend to believe what he says, you know, unless there's overwhelming evidence to the contrary. One more thing, and then we'll talk about the spiritual aspect of the meeting last night. He talked about Ronald Reagan. I know he's a sacred cow to a lot of conservatives. He isn't to me, and I don't think he is to you. He said Ronald Reagan made a couple of very key mistakes. Number one, he implemented the largest Social Security tax increase in our history. Number two, he gave amnesty to some 3 million illegals. And I add to that, he didn't mention this, but I add to that, he was deceived by the phony fall of the Soviet Union as well. And he mentioned the fact that because most conservatives felt that the Soviet Union had fallen under the weight of communism, that we then opened up greater trade relations with them. They got a lot of free grain from us and all sorts of goodies, which only benefited communism. Because even today, and this is what Joel Skousen says, even today, Russia is a communist nation. It is a totalitarian nation. If you don't believe me, try to own a gun there. You know, try to exercise free speech there. You know, anyway, I don't mean to go too ad nauseum on the negative, but he did end on a positive note. He said that even though there's a general corruption of judgment, he gave a couple of examples, like in Montana, apparently they passed a bill this last election cycle that allowed doctors to literally let babies who are born alive, whose mothers did not want them, to literally die on the medical tables. And the people in the so-called conservative state of Montana passed that referendum. And he said that there's just a general corruption of judgment. And he said something else. But he said, you know, individually, we can cultivate an ability to listen to God's spirit. And he gave some point. He says it's not as easy as it sounds. And he gave an example from his youth where he and his brothers were playing in the living room and they were throwing a ball around. And they shattered a lamp. And his mother responded by making the rule that you don't throw the ball in the living room. That was the rule to remedy that problem, right? But not to disrespect his mother at all, he said, well, later on, when I became a parent, we didn't pass rules like that. What we did is when an incident like that happened, he would sit down with his kids and he would ask them, now, while you were throwing that ball around in the living room, for example, did you get a nervous feeling about what you were doing? And 9 times out of 10, their children would say, yeah, I did feel a little uncomfortable and I probably should have heeded that. So instead of just making a bunch of rules to prevent tragedies like a lamp being broken by a ball being thrown around, he said he cultivated in his children at a very early age. And he said as early as 3 years old, you can cultivate this ability, the ability to listen to that prompting. You can call it conscience. You can call it the God's spirit. You can call it a gut feeling. There are many names that we refer to it by, but it's basically the spirit of God telling us that either what we're doing is wrong or what we're not doing, we should be doing. And that's another thing he talked about it. And he gave two pointers on how we can strengthen our ability to be more sensitive to those promptings. He said, number one, when you get that prompting, you need to force yourself to do whatever it's prompting you to do, in the case of doing something good, even if you don't feel like it. And number two, don't ignore that prompting, or it'll get weaker. Like, I guess they're kind of one and the same, but, you know, and I agree. And ever since he's been talking about listening to this voice of conscience for years and years and years, and he has a story, a really interesting story, and I'm not prepared to share that, but he shared it with me here in my own home one time when he gave a fireside about how he literally lost a multi-thousand dollar business deal because he ignored that prompting. And it was distinct, but it was very brief. And I wish I had more details. And he ignored it momentarily, and it didn't come back. It only happened once, and he emphasizes that. It only happened once, and he argued with the Lord, said, Lord, you only prompted me once. You should have prompted me more times than once. Well, that should have been enough. Anyway, I'll let him maybe we can share that later on if I can get that story from him. But ever since that day, Sam, he has been very, very sensitive. When he feels a prompting, he acts on it. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't rationalize. He doesn't say, I'll do it later. He does it. So that, and I left the building that night, last night, feeling very uplifted because I knew, and I've been working on that myself, but, you know, I knew that's something that the Lord gives us so that we can be prepared, you know, and all the tumult and craziness that we're experiencing politically and socially. You know, the Lord.
You've got to develop a relationship with the Savior Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Learn to hear him and act upon his direction to you as an individual and with your stewardship regarding your family, ladies and gentlemen. It is absolutely critical. I want to turn to a couple of other stories before into the end of the hour, Chris. They say that this Rolling Stone contributing editor, Matt, I think you say his name, Tybee, released details about the censorship of the then October 14th, 2020 report on a laptop Hunter Biden left at a repair store. He basically gave the details on his Twitter account, and at first they said, hey, that laptop's not reliable. The FBI, they went on and on. But Tybee released what Elon Musk referred to as the Twitter files Friday afternoon, detailing how the social media platform Twitter literally shut down the New York Post story about the Hunter Biden laptop. And anyway, the bottom line is they connected this right away to the truth, and the Post stood by their story all along on this. But these Twitter files, ladies and gentlemen, I know you want to believe they're real, and I believe that a lot of the facts in these things are real, okay? But I want you to be very careful with this information, and I'll tell you why. You know what? Is Matt known as a freedom fighter? Is Matt Bybee guy? I don't know why Elon Musk chose him to be the main guy to release all this. He works and is an editor for Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone is not a conservative group, ladies and gentlemen. And so I appreciate the Twitter files are being released, and I, you know, really appreciate how they really dive into some facts here. But if you're not very careful, you're going to get snookered on this. Let's go ahead and skip the break, too, on this, will you? They say the laptop was verified soon after the Daily Caller News Foundation connected. They say President Joe Biden. I'm going to take out president and just put Joe Biden with an executive at the Ukrainian gas company, Burisma, I think is how you say it, with the executive Burisma thanking the president's son for giving me an opportunity to, quote, meet your father. Okay? So now we literally have evidence of, you know what, Hunter pitched the big guy, his father, and meeting with them, this Biden family, Hunter and Joe, got lucrative contracts. Charlie Hurt at the Washington Times told host Jesse Waters, let's just step back and look what we saw with the censoring of that New York Post story was an effort by Twitter companies to trick voters into voting for Joe Biden by suppressing this story. That's the way they treat this thing. That's how desperately they wanted to help Joe Biden get elected. And now you say we have no evidence of election fraud. We literally have Twitter in bed with the FBI. Okay, the FBI met weekly, ladies and gentlemen, with large social media platforms such as Twitter to collaborate on, quote, moderating content? That's according to a deposition now in court that was submitted this week from an FBI supervisory special agent, Elvis Chan. Ladies and gentlemen, we've uncovered troves of discovery that show a massive censorship enterprise, Schmidt told the Daily Caller News Foundation. Joe Biden's team, listen, President Joe Biden's team literally asked Twitter to delete certain tweets right before the 2020 election, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Think about that now. We have the evidence. Joe Biden, Twitter, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, all colluded, met weekly to control content, spiked certain stories saying we are peddling fake news, shut us down, promoted other stories and other people directly to get Joe Biden elected, and we have the proof. But then the mainstream press is just going to run around and say, you have no proof of election fraud. That's where we are in America, Chris.
Yeah, and I heard the show, Joe Rogan. I try to avoid Joe Rogan because he uses a lot of those French words that we talked about earlier in the show. But I remember when Mark Zuckerberg got on his show and admitted as much as you just said. Of course, he painted it, you know, in a way that made it sound like he was protecting the general public from fake news and all that. He called it fake, you know, but he did admit that the FBI contacted Facebook and him. Well, I don't know if it was him directly, but they contacted Facebook and asked them not to publish the information about Hunter Biden's laptop. So there's an admission, a recorded admission. I heard it with my own ears. And that is election.
Okay, so heads need to roll. Republicans need to stand up. But see, the problem is it's us against the deep state. And there's enough Republicans to willingly tell the truth. But there's also another deep state folks, ladies and gentlemen, who literally are betraying us at the highest level. All right? They wanted to help Joe get elected, and they did it. Okay? The Twitter files will not be enough. So do we have facts in this? Yes. Are the releases from Twitter probably accurate? Yes. But do I trust Elon Musk? And do I trust this Tybee reporter? No, I don't. All right. He's with Rolling Stone, a very liberal magazine. So the real question you got to ask yourselves is, why are they allowing this to happen? I believe it's to create confusion in the nation to where you don't know where to turn. They want to do that more and more and more because they know we're credible. They know they're not. But the way they confuse this then is you just kind of mix it up. And pretty soon, well, is you know, Rolling Stone magazine on our side, liberal or conservative? They broke out the truth there. They've been pretty liberal, but man, now they're standing up. We got to trust them. Man, is Charlie whatever? Is Matt Tybee, is he the good guy? And what about this Chan guy that worked for the FBI that literally said, hey, there's a scandal. We met weekly with large social media platforms, Elvis Chan, you know, this guy. I'm telling you right now, it's very strange characters. Beware of Kanye West. Beware of Elon Musk. Beware of Donald Trump. Beware of Ron DeSantis, because all these guys have a way of making you believe they're conservative. They're on your side when they're not, folks. Okay, just remember that. Enough said. Again, take it with a grain of salt. But look, if we really have evidence that Joe Biden was in bed with his son and the communist Chinese, and we really have evidence that the FBI was in bed with Joe Biden and all these large media companies to literally manipulate the outcome of an election, why aren't people going to prison? Answer?
Yeah.
It's all political theater in the news, and nobody big enough to matter will be touched in the deep state. Trust you, me. Enough said, keep an eye on that ball. I got an interesting story to dovetail with one of Chris Carlson's points on the radio. So as Chris always says, we don't believe in royals. We don't believe in rock stars. Nope. We believe that we're all God's children. We're all people. Well, there's an interesting Boston
except
Celtics.
We have to make it.
All right.
We have to make an exception.
And Loretta Lynn. Uncle and there's Ted, a few.
Come on. Give me one exception.
Loretta Lynn, Kid Rock. Sorry. There's a few. Right.
Well, not that kid. Okay, two exceptions, Loretta Lynn and Uncle Ted.
Well, and then you got to give an exception.
For my sake.
You got to give an exception to John Rich, too, by the way, of Big and Rich. He's a country singer.
All right.
You got to go study him. He's a real hero. He stands up to the deep state quite a bit, does a great job. But anyway, Boston Celtics are in the news, and they're not impressed with royal families. Ryan Miller at KSL.com has the article. Now, here's what's interesting. So I don't know if you know, but there was a Boston Celtics game that took place, Chris, and there was the royal family. Okay, and they attended and were
Boston
sitting.
Now.
They were sitting courtside. This royal family. It's a different royal family than you're thinking, but just listen. And so they were sitting courtside, and the coach walked back and forth, coaching right in front of the royal family. Well, it turns out in this article, then these reporters thought, man, there's royals in the audience. This is incredible. Let's see what the coach and some of the players had to say about that. So this female reporter asks the coach and then eventually asks the player. Here's the exchange from the coach.
A non-basketball question. Did you get a chance to meet with the royal family? And if not, how was it like having them there in the building?
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
The Prince and Princess of Wales.
Oh, no, I did not. I'm only familiar with one royal family. I don't know too much about that one.
Well, Thank you.
So the coach literally shut her down. And he just went,
woo-hoo,
you mean
good for him.
Joseph, Mary, and Jesus? And she's like, no. And then he's like, well, I'm only familiar with one royal family. And she was just chagrined. So then she goes and asks a player trying to get a different answer. Here it is.
I know you guys have played in front of a lot of celebrities, but what was it like to compete in front of royalty tonight? The Prince and Princess of Wales were in the building.
It was just a regular game to me.
And on the video, she sits there just chagrined. She doesn't even know how to respond. But this rock star player just goes, just a regular game to me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the message. Yeah, Jaylen Brown is who it was. That's right. We need to realize this is how we need to behave. We don't believe in royals, folks. I appreciate that they're supposed to be better than we are, or more talented, more educated, more, you know, beautiful, whatever. It's all a lie, ladies and gentlemen. The Founding Fathers busted that myth a couple of hundred years ago. Thank heavens. And I'm so happy with the Celtics' response. Now, I'm glad that they were there, and I'm glad they got to see a basketball game. That's great. But you know what? I don't believe in royalty, Chris, and neither do you. And I know that you and I have talked about this. And so when I saw that story, actually, my son sent me this story. When I saw that, I just went, yeah, they get it, Chris.
Well, here's the thing. If that coach had really been in the presence of royalty, they would have emanated radiance from their countenance or given some sort of outward indication that they were special and better than the rest of us. But apparently he didn't notice anything about
it. No, he did.
And
he noticed
it. Response.
Hold on. He noticed it because they had extra security and everything. Yeah, he knew full well the whole time.
Yeah.
He just doesn't care, Chris. Yeah.
Good for him. Well,
now,
I am now.
Hold on. He cares about them as in.
Go ahead.
He cares about them as individuals. Like
sure.
You said, you know, I'm glad they were at the
equal.
Game and all that. They're individuals. They're God's children. They're important. But the point is, there's nothing, quote, royalty about them. Unless you accept that we're all royalty because we're all God's children. Now we're talking. But he knew full well the whole time because they had extra security there and everything. He didn't just answer that ignorantly like he didn't notice. He knew full well. And so did the player.
Well, I loved his response, although I don't think I would consider Joseph and Mary as members of royalty. I absolutely would consider Jesus Christ and God as royalty. And so I do appreciate the response. That was pretty clever on his part, I do admit. And by the way,
keep in mind,
now a Boston Celtics. Go ahead.
Keep in mind, it was a response on the spot, too.
Yeah. No, I understand. No, I appreciate it. I know where his heart was as far as that's concerned. But, yeah, Jesus Christ, he's definitely part of my royalty. You know, he's my king. I will obey him for the rest of eternity. So now I guess I'm going to have to become a – I've been a Utah fan, Utah Jazz fan. They've got a basketball team here, but I'm going to have to convert over to become a Boston fan because I've got something of substance to put my loyalty into.
Yeah, and this reporter, this female reporter was just shocked. She did not know what to say. And when the coach shut her down, she kind of laughed and was embarrassed. And she had hoped to go to a player to get a completely different response. As you can see, she set it up the second time by saying, hey, you know, I know you've, played in front of a lot of celebrities and a lot of important people and everything else. But, man, this is even up a level from all those people. Wow, how was it to, you know? And he just goes, just another game to me.
Yeah, boom. Well, good for him. Yeah, I mean,
so you got two people, you got a player and a coach. Good for them both.
Yeah, good. I mean, having grown up in America, hopefully everybody. I mean, I remember growing up, and I don't know if this was the case with you in the public schools. Of course, you were in California, it may have been completely different. But I grew up in the Midwest, and we eschewed the whole notion of kings and queens. I mean, it was in our blood. I don't know if that was inculcated with you going to California schools, but with me, it was like, well, the notion of somebody ruling over another human being, even in our, you know, school, our Midwestern small town school, we knew that that was wrong. And
right, this love affair with quotes, this love affair with celebrities, is a recent phenomenon where we've literally turned to idols, as we've talked about on the program before, Chris. Oh. This is a recent phenomenon. Most of us don't believe in royals. Now, I'm grateful they could go. I hope they had a good time. Welcome to America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. By all means, you should learn about our values and who we are as a people, and welcome to our country. I get that, and I get treating them with kindness, and I get a little bit of extra security if that's what they feel like they need, fine. But we need to treat them just like everybody else. You know what? And in fact, I think the point should be made by the reporter. I'm grateful we're welcoming royals to the United States, where every one of us are royal. We're all children of God. That gives us royalty, ladies and gentlemen. So you know what, royals? Welcome among 330 million royals. Because I agree.
That's,
you know what? We are among royalty, and so are they. And that is the quintessential point the Founding Fathers would make, and I echo that through all history, Chris.
Well, that you've even wound up the coach on that one, Sam. Congratulations. That's even a more clever response than I would have come up
with. Yeah, but I've had time to think about my response.
Yeah,
in his defense.
Fair enough.
But I'm telling you, though, look, we should teach the whole world about royalty, shouldn't we? You know what? They are royals, and welcome to the land of the royalty. You've now come to where everyone's royalty.
Good.
Not only do we have a godly heritage, but we got an American heritage. We are royalty in multiple sense, ladies and gentlemen. We're the land of the free, the home of the brave, the greatest country on the face of the earth, because we look to God Almighty, our Father, not any bureaucrat or government or some, you know, whatever royalty. We're all royalty in that sense, and welcome to the land of the royals. There you have it. All right, wrap it up for us, Chris. We're out of time, sir.
Okay, well, as usual, without God, when with God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight, Sam. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
And I want to add, the whole purpose of today is to let you guys know that the best way to prepare is do your part and follow Christ. When we do, wonderful things happen, ladies and gentlemen. And when we don't, it gets rowdy in a hurry. I believe in America. I know God lives. I know that God, family, and country are the solutions to the problems we face. We believe in Christ, and we encourage everyone to turn to Him and follow Him. After all, He is the author of our liberty. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. 2 hours of hard-hitting talk in the can, available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. and brightyonradio.com. Spread the word, share the love, and we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.